The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Scott Simmer and Ron Smith here today. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good. And Dr. Smith's already taking notes.
No, I was just making some notes here. I'm trying to keep up with my activities this summer.
So as our listeners might can guess what our topic's going to be today, primarily cotton insect management. Simmer, that little background for you being still relatively new to the overall podcast. Uh-huh. This is only probably the second episode that we'll do dedicated just to cotton insect management.
Oh, okay.
Kind of surprising
So you can kind of thank me for just, hey, we should need to cover this.
Yeah.
So I was, and just the way I thought about was, you know, again, I try to keep up a little bit about everything, but last week we were spraying out there, you know, with the drone and the ground spray and all that. I'm like, man, so apparently this is the time for growers to spray and manage insects and all that. Yeah, so it's pretty timely to cover that topic.
Yeah, you know, Jeremy Green at Clemson calls August stink bug month. And that's true, but it's also becoming still plant bug month. Well,
in particular, yeah, with our later planting cotton this year, that makes it even more sensitive to it.
Right.
Plant bug injury on later into the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing we talk about a lot in county meetings and we put out information is how insect situation changes day to day, week to week, field to field, and that complicates this type of a podcast, right? Because a lot of times, you know, I'll say if I put something out on Monday, by Friday I disagree with it. Yeah, yeah, it's not right anymore. So we're maybe not going to try to key in on what's happening right now, but talk about the big picture of what it's looked like this year and some generalities of where we are. And then, Ron, I think probably the best thing to do would be to talk about maybe when to stop treating cotton, either by planting date or just by, you know, time, you know, what stage the crop's at a given time, and try to do something that is more – relevant for a longer period of time than just this week
right
or next
now.
Week.
Yeah. So I'm curious, when you said August has been predominantly more bug activity and all that, during the season for cotton, when does it start and when does it kind of end?
Bug season?
Yeah.
Well, insect season.
Insect season.
Insect season starts as soon as the crop comes out of the ground, and it lasts near about until crack boll, depending on where you are.
I would say the insect that we're most concerned late would be the stink bug, and our guideline is we're susceptible to injury until the youngest bolls that we think we can harvest are about 25 days old.
Yeah,
and real hard to the touch. But
you start out with thrips as soon as it comes out, and then like Ron said, you're fighting stink bugs until you're
so
done.
So in a way, it's a pretty active management throughout the season for insects.
That's why we think it's the most interesting discipline in agriculture.
That's we're entomologists and not something else.
Yeah, no, it's I think the more, I mean, cotton, given already a crop, which not very predictable in a way, you know, you could have a response one year and next not the other.
That's
and all
right,
that
yeah,
compared to corn or other crops that we usually see.
And cotton may not be predictable as other crops, but it is predictable.
It's still,
you know what
the trend we're after,
right?
The bigger trend, right?
But part of what messes it up is weather, and part of it is insects. If thrips hit it really early and it delays maturity a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
If plant bugs come in and knock squares off before bloom, that delays maturity a couple of weeks. So insects also affect that.
And the planting date has an impact on weather. Indirectly, there's a tie there. And also it has an impact on insects. So that's the situation we're in this year. It's one of the most extreme planting seasons that I can ever remember in 54 years. And some of our late planted cotton didn't get rainfall right away, so it even became later maturing. And so I've never seen such an extreme environment out there insect-wise or crop-wise, and that relates to insects, too, and is what we've got now.
Even some of the early planted stuff had so much rain early, it didn't grow off very well either.
Exactly, waterlogged soils. A question came up this morning. This may not be the best place to fit it in, but we're talking about when is a crop mature enough it's no longer damaged to insects. And I think we've got to consider the weather as a factor in there, and the cool nights and the slowing of the maturity, early frost. And when you put all those things together, when is that last bowl that you can harvest? And that's going to be hard to tell. So I would suggest if we can get plant bugs and stink bugs suppressed, just let it go, and let's see how long we can make before the fall, but the fall weather catches us.
Yeah.
And so that might be what, just if we just let it ride without any additional input, then we'll just let the weather determine when our season is over.
So what would be, I know we were talking about this, and we want to make sure that we kind of also cover the fact that our crop is so widespread in a way. For early planted, what would you say that got planted before this week, this day is considered in that?
Well, traditionally, I would say early planted cotton is, for Alabama, is planted, what, before about May the 7th or 10th?
Wrong. Well, I think, and I know Philip in Georgia has used this too, May the 10th is a good date to say anything prior to May the 10th could be considered early planted cotton.
Yeah.
So that's why I asked, because the grower might be listening and he's like, what if I'm... Yeah. You know, this date planted,
this year, and the reason I said traditionally, that's what, because this year, my May 25th stuff might be early because of how the season went, you know, because we had a long time in there where we couldn't plant.
That's what I was going to say. There was a long gap in there in May where we didn't really plant anything. So the two crops really distinguish themselves either prior to May the 10th or basically almost after June the 1st then. So we didn't plant much the last 20 days of May because of the weather.
Yeah, and so that is, you know, a lot of the early stuff is really through the insect window now. Some of it is probably getting close to thinking about defoliation, which we will hopefully, as a side note, be able to do a good podcast on that soon. I think a lot of the early planted stuff is certainly should be through the bowl, through the bug window at this point.
So does growers need to, when you say that the most of that should be through, they can probably switch gears to the defoliation and other things, start worrying more about that type of stuff than more management on the insect side?
Maybe they're just not as, they can focus in on their late planted stuff now for insect.
Okay, management. That's what I was trying to get.
There could be some people who got everything in that tight window, but probably not a lot just with trying to finish up other crops and, you know, back when they were planting and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
We're also starting to shell corn right now too, which can take away from your abilities to spray insects and that kind of stuff.
So what all insect-wise is present out there now, or what do they need to be managing for now?
So right now we're getting calls and stuff about plant bugs, and stink bugs are the primary. There are also some spider mites out there. I have not heard about any at treatable levels yet, but I've gotten pictures of some out there, and people are talking about how do we manage these other insects and not flare spider mites.
Well, I did have a call from Monroe County just prior to the time you were out, I guess, and that was just before we had all the rainy weather. And maybe it was on like a Thursday, and it started raining on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It was cloudy then several days afterwards. My suggestion was, let's wait till all of this weather is over, and if we still need to treat, let's treat next week. Mm-hmm. But the plant bugs not plant bugs, but spider mites just don't blow up during cloudy, wet things. Now, they don't go away. They just don't multiply as fast. So they're going to still be there.
Yeah.
But if the more you can ride it out, the less chances you might have to make a second application.
Yeah. And, you know, you made a point there about the cloudy, wet weather after the rain. I got a report Tuesday this week. Today is August the 8th. I got a report Tuesday that cotton was starting to throw stuff off because of that cloudy weather. You know, that's another thing that complicates insect management when it starts throwing off those small bolls.
So it starts shedding?
Physiological shed,
Well, and there could be another factor there in addition to the cloudy weather, too. I think cloudy weather impacts the square set more so early in the season than it does late. I would suggest the bowl load that some of these varieties have on it now, because even though they didn't make a lot of vegetative growth, we've got a lot of short cotton this year, but it is really, really loaded thanks to the varieties that we have today.
Yeah, and they did say they had a great bowl set on it.
And I think that's the reason that we're going to lose some of the top things one of the reasons.
But then also, you know, we've just talked about the rain. There's also still spots where it didn't rain. I know my crew had to wear their boots to Prattville Monday. And Blake Lanton, and you know, who covers Prattville, but also into Selma and that area, is they're still praying for rain every day. You know, just 20 miles away, and so it's not everywhere. So I think southeast Alabama wiregrass in particular got a good widespread rain, but other places are still fighting these little spotty, pop-up showers.
Even across the northern part of the state, over in the northwestern part, that was getting all the rain earlier. Got a minimal amount out of this last front, but over in the northeastern part of the state, we had up to 7 inches in some places.
Wow. Yeah.
So what weather affects that, not just when they can spray all that, but also looking out, how does it affect, so like what is y'all's recommendation on, because I remember like not me getting, but other colleague getting calls similar to like even fungicides, hey, it's going to rain tomorrow or 2 days from now. Should I go and spray? You know, what is kind of those suggestions for insecticide sprays?
Yeah, that's a pretty complicated one. You know, that's kind of a field to field. How big a population do you have, right? Do you have 5 times your threshold, or are you just right at threshold?
Okay.
If you've got a bunch, maybe you go and try to get what you can. And also, when can you get back in the field? If it rains, is it going to knock you out a week, or is it going to knock you out a day? The quicker you can get back in, maybe you wait. But if it's going to push you out, you try to get what you can now and then reassess the situation after is my advice.
And I would say one other thing there is, which depends on which bug you might be going for.
Yeah.
You need more residual on plant bugs than you really do on stink bugs, because I think most of our stink bug materials work within 24 to 48 hours. And so really whether it's going to rain or not is irrelevant there, because if that was my primary target pest and I could squeeze it in, if I thought I could get 12 plus hours, I'd go ahead and control stink bugs.
Yeah,
whereas
stink,
plant bugs would.
Stink bugs, you're mostly dealing with adults, and so they're very mobile moving through the field, where plant bugs, this time of the year, it's immatures, which don't move around as much, and they're in there the whole time. And so that's why the residual is more important.
They're in there the whole time, and where the immature plant bugs live is inside square bracts of large squares.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty much isolated from any exposure there. And they don't come around out and move around on the plant either, I don't believe, Scott.
Not a whole lot.
So
their food source is right there, where they just keep feeding on that one large square. So they really is minimal exposure.
I guess, question, not knowing too much about insects and all that, plant bugs necessarily are anything inside that feeds inside the plant or the bowl or something?
Say that again now.
The distinction between the stink bugs and the plant bugs.
Okay, yeah. So stink bugs, like he said, they live inside the bracts feeding on the bowl. So behind the leaves, right, of the square, where stink bugs are actually going after the bowl itself, which has outgrown the bracts. So they're not as hidden. Yeah. And the size of the bowl they prefer is about a quarter in diameter. It's about a 10-day-old mm-hmm. bowl. And where that is, they're kind of having to move up and down and getting in contact where that coverage was to get to the next bowl or to another bowl.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You were talking about threshold and stuff. So what are our thresholds? Where I know you were also working on some dynamic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what is the normal threshold for some of these?
So for our plant bugs, the best threshold is 3 immature plant bugs per 5 row feet. And so to do that, you got to use a drop cloth, and it's very intense, takes a long time on top of that. It's hard to do, but it's a very good way to sample. There are also people that just use sweep nets, and there it's you're kind of looking at for the adults, which we try to focus on the immatures. And so, you know, Ron maybe has more experience helping call shots in that scenario than I do, but if I do a set of sweep nets and I find 1 or 2 immature plant bugs, I feel like I probably got enough to spray.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors there you want to consider. How long has it been since that field's been sprayed previously? But the sweep net is a real good tool for detection. It's not a real good tool for quantifying. But
at this time of the year,
So when you are doing it, which it might differ because we kind of work in with your expertise in this mm-hmm. area versus a grower or a scout or someone, how many times you recommend that doing that in the field? Because you just want to go in one part of the field and just sample one and like, oh, you got bugs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's a question I get a lot. To me, you want to do it in more than one area of the field. Obviously, maybe on the border and then move into the field, maybe a couple of places in the field. But I always say is you want to sample the fewest times you can to make the most confident decision that you can. And for a more experienced scout, that might be 2 times. That might be 3 times. For a less experienced scout, it might be 4, 5, or 6. But at a certain point, you got to make a decision and get out.
Yeah. The size of the field has something to do with how many samples they would want to take also. Because then, you know, we've got rivers in the state, and sometimes the entire bend of a river is planted, maybe not in rows all run in the same direction, but in a situation like that, you would sample 3 or 4 times, maybe in a 300 or 400, 500-acre field. But the other thing is like with stink bugs, knowing they come out of corn, you would want to look to see where your source would be for them moving in.
Mm.
And you'd want to sample there because there's no need to go to the other side of the field to sample where you likely would have a lower population. You really want to catch them as soon as they're coming in. And we know all these insects clump, but stink bugs clump as they move into the field out of corn. Plant bugs just clump on their own. I don't know if it's a pheromone or what, but they are very clumpy in fields. But you can't sample every row. So if you detect a population, you've got to assume you've got a problem at that site. And I don't know, you don't feel good about letting that ride to go sample another site that may have a zero.
Yeah.
The farmer probably needs to treat if you pick them up in any one spot.
Well, it's not like for, like in precision ag, we do variable rate fertilization and all that. Mm-hmm. For insect, it's not in a way because I don't think there's enough even sampling you can do to really say, hey, spray this much in this part of the field, don't spray over there and spray a little bit there.
You know? And in general, with insecticides in particular, most people either want to treat everything or nothing.
Or nothing.
Yeah, they don't want to go. Some of them will go and just spray a border, like Ron's saying. If they do find that they're only bad next to corn, they'll do that. But for the most part, with an insecticide, we want to go over the whole field or none of it.
And the other thing, if you've got like 30 or 40 fields spread in three counties, you can't run up and down the road with your high cycle back and forth to get individual fields. You got to spray blocks.
Yeah,
because that's a good point, too, because if you're going to variable rate PGR, you know you're spraying every field anyway, right, or mm-hmm. within a planting date. With insects, you might just find one or two fields out of, you know, out of 15 in that on that farm that have bugs. Well, a lot of them, they don't want to drive just to do that. So, yeah, it's complicated, can be. But we have talked about stink bugs, and we haven't brought up that threshold yet. So stink bugs requires no fancy devices at all. We just pull those bowls I mentioned, the size of a quarter, pop them open, and look for damage. That is a dynamic threshold that changes peak bloom, which is weeks 3, 4, 5, and maybe 6, is 10% damage. So I was talking with a guy the other day that I said, look, I think in the scout school we have on our slide that we recommend to pull one bowl per acre, you know, in the field, or a minimum of 20. And so I say, hey, if I know I'm going to do that and I've got a 100-acre field, well, if I pull 10 bowls, or if I pull 20 bowls to start and 10 of them are damaged, that's 10% of 100, so I'm done.
Yeah.
So we don't need to actually quantify how much damage there is. We just need to know threshold, not threshold. And so you don't even have to pull the rest of the bowls, let alone pop them. If you're, you know, pulling them and popping them as you're walking, and you can figure out pretty quickly if you're going to hit that threshold or not. So that's another thing there.
Yeah, and let me say this and see if you agree with it, Scott. I would say that our older cotton that is planted prior to May the 10th is just about home free for stink bugs now.
Yes, yeah.
Because I don't think we're going to set a lot more bowls in the top. Most of it has bloomed out several weeks ago.
Yeah. And so as you mentioned earlier, too, again, the cutoff is we want to protect bowls that we plan to harvest until they're about 25 days old. But the threshold within that changes. So the 7th and 8th week of bloom, since there aren't as many of those susceptible bowls in the field, it takes more damage to justify the spray. So, you know, if you're 8th week of bloom, which is kind of the last week you expect to get anything anyway, threshold is 50% damage because there just aren't very many bowls out there to begin with.
Okay. So for the growers who are noticing these, you know, whether that's stink bugs, spider mites, or other plant bugs, this is more so for late planted, right, that we still have a pretty good chance of bug activity.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. Yeah, we need to be keyed in on the late planted stuff.
Yeah, because if it's home free from stink bugs, it's most likely home free from plant bugs, too, as far as this season.
Yeah, so that there's a fancy cutoff, or the way we determined, I should say, our cutoff is based on degree units.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not a whole lot of people are set up to keep up with that math. And so for plant bugs, if you calculate that out, it comes up to about note above white flower 2 is our walk away from plant bugs. And so that's another cutoff there that should be mentioned for the late planted cotton. And something else we haven't talked about yet is the last effective bloom date.
Okay.
I'll ask our producer, Jacob, you know what that is? So he shook his head no. The last effective bloom date is the day when you drop below at least a 50% chance for a white bloom to make it to the picker. So when you've got a 50% chance that the frost won't kill that bowl before it fully matures. And a common question is, well, when is your last effective bloom date? And people have a good idea for their area based on their, you know, their history, right? But it's pretty different from Cherokee County than it is from Baldwin County, because those are different environments. I think Brad Meyer had the best answer, which was, well, tell me when your frost is going to be, because it can vary so much from year to year, even if you have a good historical record. So that's something we need to think about with this late planted cotton is, you know, don't go chasing bowls that probably aren't going to mature anyway.
Well, when they say don't go chasing them, I would say don't go chasing them with additional inputs, pest
with
control.
Anything. Yeah.
And that's what I was referring to back earlier in our conversation here. Just let it ride, and if it makes, it makes, as long as we're not putting any additional input into it. And let the weather dictate then what the last bowl.
Yeah.
So is it also, and when you were saying that, it kind of reminded me of, you know, we got this money tree for a cotton plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where most of your money is coming from that bottom one-third or whatever, half of the planters. For insect management, you know, later in the season, are the bottom bowls more susceptible to damage, or is it more top?
Late in the season, the bottom bowls are pretty well set.
So
it's,
they're done.
It's the top, right.
It's mostly. Yeah. So that's why you don't want to waste too much energy and resources on those top while you already have a big
That's right, because those top bowls are normally smaller in size, contribute less to yield.
They're still developing.
And the other thing we need to remember, too, is as the nights cool down, the rate that a bowl matures and the fiber matures inside the bowl gets really much longer than it does earlier in the year. Now, the only thing those bottom bowls are susceptible to would be diseases in form of bowl rot later on.
Okay.
Yep.
But hopefully, with our plant limited in size this year, that would be one advantage to minimizing bowl rot, because we don't have a lot of canopy there to be concerned about in most fields.
Yeah.
It was interesting when we were, and that's the first time I've seen, because I mean, I'm more on the sprayer or other considerations, that there was one chemical we were spraying last week. It actually had a minimum volume of only 5 gallons, which to me, that's probably the only time I've seen a label that with the ground sprayer, because we always talk about 10 being our like standard of like, hey, you don't want to go below 10, mm-hmm. right? I'm more comfortable people putting out 15 for everything in a way, because more coverage and all that. But is that, so for that, you think are growers really kind of doing that? Or are they more like when they tank mix, it kind of ends up that they're actually applying a little bit higher volumes?
I would say, we do know at least one person that goes 6 GPA with insecticides, but I would at least hope most of us are at least in the 8, if not the 10 gallons per acre range.
I believe most of them shoot for about 10, and they stay the same. They don't change it back and forth for chemicals or the time of the season or anything. They pretty much keep that the same.
Pretty good. What else? We got about a few minutes here. Wrap up kind of some of the main things to highlight.
Well, we've covered a lot. But.
Well, one thing that just came up this morning, a phone call, is on this cotton that was planted real late, sat there and struggled from lack of water. What about PGR use on that cotton right now? It's finally got some rain, so it's beginning to grow a little bit. In a case like that, I'd be very careful and not overdo that, because you've got to have a little growth on it to get any expected yield. So I'd be afraid to play around with much more than 8 or 10 ounces.
That I would be not aggressive for sure on late planted cotton with PGRs.
Now, the other thing, though, that I want to make, I don't know if you've, I didn't look last week at our friend Snodgrass that does the real nice weather report. About 10 or 12 days ago, his outlook for August was a wetter than normal August. And for corn harvesting, that's terrible. But for our cotton, that's probably going to be really good, because we can fill bowls with plenty of moisture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've already talked to a couple of people at South Alabama that they've already gotten more rain in August than they got last year. And so hopefully that sets us up to finish out the cotton for sure.
So on the late planted, I guess, to kind of wrap up, we are recording this on August 8th. It might be out by next week. For how long should the growers watch it before that crop is out of?
So So here's what I'll say from an insect stage. Just keep in mind that plant bugs, like I said, we generally about note above white flower two is where we walk away from plant bugs, but they can damage thumb size bowls too. So they can damage bowls until they're about 10 days old, which is when stink bugs start targeting them. Stink bugs, we say to, based on your dynamic threshold, protect bowls until they're about 25 days old. And then spider mites, about the same. So they're damaging bowls until they're fully filled as well. And so think about it from that aspect for walking away from bugs.
And I've just add this to that. We've got cotton that's probably some of the latest that I've heard from is in the first week of bloom here on August the 8th. I was hoping
we... And that's the second or third week of June planted cotton?
That's June the 22nd planted cotton that didn't grow off well. Okay. So really, we're just beginning to make a crop there. So I would say we need to keep the plant bugs and stink bugs below threshold for the next 4 weeks.
4 weeks, okay.
We need 4 weeks to make enough to justify harvesting. Probably we need 4 weeks of fruiting.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what Steve Brown always said. You can make a crop in 4 weeks.
And that will take us to about mid-September. So we really, on this late planted cotton, we need to have it keep insects below threshold till about mid-September and then let the weather determine how much we can harvest.
Okay. All right. Good information, guys.
All right, yeah, enjoy the conversation. So as always, to our listeners, if any of us at Alabama Extension can do anything to help, please let us know. Or if we've got a topic you'd like to hear discussed, let us know that as well. So with that, we'll hop off, and I hope everybody has a good week, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.